beginning that Mem Vav Amid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, Boi Rami Bar Chama. In the previous Gemara, we learned that although Mechuber, something which is naturally connected to the ground, such as a mountain, hill, or a tree, which was not planted for the sake of Avodah Zarah, according to the Rabbanon, or which was not planted at all by man, which grew by itself, according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, any of these items which are Mechuber, which are naturally connected to the ground, do not become Osir, even if they are worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Although the one who worships them is Mechuyev Misa, but the item does not become Osir with the Isurim of Avodah Zarah. It does not become Osir Bahano, and it does not have to be destroyed. Nonetheless, said the Gemara, that Ligavaya, to use it for something in the Beis HaMikdash, to use it for actually something which is for on high, that is forbidden. And as the Gemara said, Rava learned this from Esnan. If we find that something which was used as Esnan, which was used to pay a Zoyna, is also to be used Ligavaya, it's forbidden to use it for the one on high. One's not allowed to bring it as a carbon. Even though there is no Isser of Esnan at all for a Hedyot, something that was used as Esnan has not become Osir Bahano at all. And we say, says Rava, that Isser Ligavaya applies not only to Tolush, but to Mechuber as well. It applies even to something which is connected to the ground. Says Rava, then it's a Kal V'Chomer, that when it comes to something which was worshipped as of Avodah Zarah, where something being worshipped as of Avodah Zarah, at least in the case of Tolush, becomes Osir, even Lehedyot, becomes Osir even for an ordinary person. So it's a Kal V'Chomer that we should say that even in the case of Mechuber, it becomes Osir Ligavaya. If we find concerning Esnan that even Mechuber becomes Osir Ligavaya, then Kal V'Chomer, a case of Nevad, which in Tolush becomes Osir Lehedyot, should in the case of Mechuber become Osir Ligavaya. That was the Kal V'Chomer of Rava, and apparently the Maskana of the Gemara, that although there is no Isser of Mechuber if it is worshipped as of a Zarah for a Hedyot, but there is an Isser of Nevad, it's considered to be something that was worshipped as of a Zarah concerning Gavaya. Boy, Rami Bar Chama asked the Shaila, HaMashtachave L'komas Chitim, someone who bows down to standing grain, standing wheat, and the Gemara's assumption is that this standing wheat is considered to be mechuber and does not become osir lehedyot. It doesn't become osir bahanor for an ordinary person as avodah zarah. However, it is osir ligavaya, and his question is, mahu limenachas, what is it then to use the flour made from this wheat for menachas, to bring as a carbon mincha? What's the question? Yesh shinui benevar or ein shinui benevar? Is there a din of change concerning this Isser of Nevad, of something that was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, the Isser that applies Ligavaya to use it for a carbon? Do we say that since its form is changed, that the Isser leaves it and it's no longer Osir and it can be used as a Mincha? Or do we say that Ein Shinui B'Nevad, that concerning Nevad, there is no din of Shinui, even if it has been changed, although it's been changed from wheat into flour, still it cannot be used as a Mincha because the Halach of Shinui of change does not apply. Now we find concerning Esnan that in fact there is a Halach of Shinui. If the Esnan that was given to her was changed into something else, it can be used Ligavaya. That is halacha concerning Esnan. And as a matter of fact, Tosis points out that since Rava's halacha, that Nevad, that something which is Mechuber, which was worshipped as of a Dezora, is also Ligavaya, since halacha was based on a Kal V'Chomer from Esnan, that we should say, we can't be more machmer than we are concerning Esnan, and we should definitely say that Yesh Shinui, that there's a din that if it changes its original form, that it becomes Mutter, just as we say concerning Esnan, that if he, for example, would give her wheat, and then it would be ground and made into flour, that it could be used as a mincha, because there is a halacha of Shinu concerning Esnan, we should say the same thing concerning Neva, that it shouldn't be stricter than the source from which we learn it, the halacha of Esnan. We should say that it too has a din of Shinu. So Tosfos says, Ein Chinami, that the truth is that Midoy Raisa, we definitely should say that Dayel of Amidinu is Kenidoy, that just as concerning Esnan, there is a din of Shinu, and when it is changed, it becomes Mutter L'Gavaya. We should say the same thing concerning Neva, that when it's changed, it becomes Mutter L'Gavaya. And the Gemara's question is only Midrabbana. Perhaps we say Midrabbana, nonetheless, since this was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah is something which is moist, is something which is disgusting, that we should say that Ein Shinui L'Neva, that the heter of Shinui does not apply to something that was worshipped as Avodah Zarah. But Taisa says that the Gemara's question is only Midrabbana, because certainly Midraisa, since the source is learned from Esnan, it shouldn't be more strict than Esnan, and we should say that if it is changed in form, that it is permitted. The Ritva brings an opinion, not like Tosis, that the Gemara's question is even in Doraisa, that once we do learn Avodah Zarah from Esnan, nonetheless Avodah Zarah follows its own halachas, and that the Gemara is saying that since we find concerning Avodah Zarah for a Hedyot, that it doesn't change, that even though a change was made, even though there's a shinu, the halacha change does not apply. When it comes to something tovush, something which does become osir for a hedyot, certainly we say that no matter to what extent it's changed, it remains osir, so that we can say the same thing here at Lugavoya, that even though this is mechuber and it's not osir lehedyot, but once we have learned from Esnan that it is osir Lugavoya, even the mechuber, we should now apply the halacha of Nevar and say that even though it is changed, it does not become osir. That is a question of the Gemara. So the Ritva then suggests that the question of Rami Bar Chama is actually a Shaila D'Oraisa. But Taisus holds that since the source is Esnan, we should say Dayo Leva Medinli is Kenidain, and certainly it should be Mutter Min Hadin. The question is whether we are Machmer Midrabanan or not. So the question is, Yeshinu B'Nevar or Ein Shinu B'Nevar? Is there a heter of something which would change from its original form concerning something that was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, something which is Mechuber and is also the Gavoya, or not? Now, as Rashi points out, there was a Girsa in the Gemara that we're speaking about someone who bowed down to wheat, not to komas chitim, not to wheat standing wheat, but rather to ordinary wheat, which is already cut off from the ground. And the question is, there is shinui since it is made into flour. Says Rashi that can't be the correct girsa in our Gemara, because if it is something that becomes osir lehedyot, then of course we know that no matter how much it's changed, that it's osir. And if it's osir lehedyot, then kolshkin, of course it will be osir legavaya. Rather, the Gemara is talking about mishtachav lekomas chitim, to standing wheat, which is mechuber and does not become osir b'hanor for a hedyot, and therefore the shaila is that since we learn it from Esnan, perhaps we should say that when it is changed in form, that there is no iser ligavaya. But if it would be something that is osir lehedyot, of course it would retain its iser, and therefore would be osir ligavaya as well. The assumption of the Gemara that komas chitim, that standing wheat, does not become osir b'hano lehedyet, is not explained in the Gemara. This, in fact, can be compared to a case of Elam. The normal case of chitim is that the seeds are planted by men, and then the wheat grows. So this is actually, according to Rashi's pshat, a case of netoy. This is a case where this, so to speak, tree, this plant was planted, and then later it was worshipped. That's the case of mishtachav lekomas chitim. And in fact, as we learned in the previous sugya, this is a machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Glili in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa. According to the Tanakhama, this does not become osir. The only planted thing which becomes osir is if it is actually planted for the sake of Avodah Zarah. But if it was planted in the form of a seed, and then it grew, and later it was worshipped, according to the Tanakhama, that does not become osir with the Yisr of Avodah Zarah. But according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, and according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that does become osir, even for a hedyot. It becomes osir behind as full of Avodah Zarah. Since he planted it in the form of a seed, it's called Yesh Bo Tfisas Yidei Adam, that it was affected, it was brought into being by a person, and it does become osir. As we learned in the previous sugya, this machloikis between Tanakhama, on the one hand, which the Gemara refers to as the Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yosei Glili, and Rabbi Yosei Rabbi Yehuda, and the Braisa, on the other hand. So according to this, the Gemara L'chayra should have mentioned that the idea that Komas Chitim itself does not become osir b'hano lehedyot depends on that machloikis. If the Chitim were planted in the form of a seed, that it's only according to the Rabbanan that it does not become osir lehedyot. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, it becomes osir lehedyot, and of course, as Rashi himself says, there's nothing to talk about that if it's osir lehedyot, even if it's changed, it remains osir lehedyot, and would of course be also osir legavaya. So in the Sefer Beis Shmuel, he brings a Sefer called Beis Elitzur, which deals with this question, asks this question, and he points out that since the halacha is like the Chachamim in that machloikis, and therefore will hold that the Torah of the Sif Avda does not become osir, therefore perhaps the Gemara didn't mention that it depends on these two opinions, because the halach is like the Chachamim, that in fact, if it was planted in the form of a seed and not for the sake of Avodah Zarah, that it does not become osir with the Yisr of Avodah Zarah, that the Torah of the Sif Avda does not become osir. So our Gemara is following the opinion of the halach. But nonetheless, he asks, this Sefer Beis Elitzur asks, why did the Gemara not mention it? We'll see later on in the next Omer that the Gemara does say that it depends on the different Mandi Amorim. So therefore he suggests that perhaps we're speaking about a case where immediately after worshipping it, he cut it down and made it into grain. Since it was cut down immediately afterwards, it didn't grow after it was worshipped as of Avodah Zarah, everyone agrees that it does not become osir. Because in a case of an elan, the case of something which is planted, it's only that which grows after it was worshipped as of Avodah Zarah that becomes osir. And here maybe we're speaking about a case that it was immediately immediately cut down. It was worshipped when it was in full growth, and then it was cut, and therefore it didn't become osur as of a dezara for a hedyot. It's only osur legavaya, because even mechuber becomes osur legavaya, and since this is learned from Esan, the Gemara asks the question whether we apply the heter of shinui or not. So that is a question of Rami Bar Chama. Omer Marzut Rebbe Rav Nachman, Marzut the son of Rav Nachman, said toshma, so we can bring a proof to this halacha. Kol ha'asur legavi mizbeach, anything which is forbidden to be brought on the mizbeach, to be brought as a korban, and this includes nevad muktzeh, something which is worshipped as a vedizara, an animal which is worshipped as a vedizara, although it is not also lehedyet, it is also to be brought as a korban, something which is muktzeh, something which has been designated as a sacrifice for a vedizara, or nirva, an animal with which a person had relations, that too is forbidden to be brought as a korban. Any of these animals, vadeisehen mutarim, their children, those which are born from them, are mutter. They can be brought on the mizbeach. V'tani Allah, and we learned a brisa on this, but Rabbi Eliezer oisa, that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the vladis, that those animals which are born from these animals, which are also legabi mizbeach, are also osur legabi mizbeach. So Marzut Rebreid Rav Nachman is saying then that apparently this is a machloikis tanoim, because he considers vladoiseyan to be a case of shinui. If the animal became osur at the time when it was pregnant with these vladis, at that time it became nevad, it was worshipped as of a desire, and therefore became osur legavaya. It, of course, remains also legavaya, but the vlad, since at the time when it was worshipped as a vedizara, it was in the form of an embryo, and then when it was born, that's considered to be a shinui, that's considered to be a change, and we see that it's a machloikis whether it becomes mutter or not. So that's how he understood the machloikis in Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. According to the Tanakama, we say that it is mutter because when it's born, it's a shinui, and since it's a shinui, we say that the heter shinui applies and it becomes mutter, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, we say that this does not apply, that it remains also in spite of the shinui of its being born. So the same machloikis will apply also to our case of using this wheat, grinding it and making it into flour, which is a shinui, and then using it for menachos. Says the Gemara, the lav itmar alo, wasn't it learned concerning this machloikis? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avua, the Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Bar Avua, machloikis kishinirvu v'libesayt ibro, that this machloikis is in Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer, that Tanakama says that this is permitted, is only in a case where these animals, that a man had relation with these animals, in other words, the iser took place before this animal was ever pregnant with its vlad, v'libesayt ibro, and then later on it became pregnant with its vlad, and then the vlad was born. So we're not dealing with a case where the iser was chal on the embryo, and the machloikis between them is whether we apply the heter of shinui, whether we say that because when it's born it's a shinui, it becomes mutter or not, that should be the machloikis. To the contrary, we're dealing with a case where when the iser took place, the embryo was not yet there, the animal was not yet even pregnant, and the question is whether it becomes usur or not. As Rashi explains, this is the case of zevizeh goyrim, when the animal then becomes pregnant, it's because of another animal, and that other animal does not have this iser upon it. The other animal is an ordinary animal. So the question is, does this iser go over to the vlad as well? Since the vlad came into being not only from its mother, which has an iser legavoya, the mother is a nevad or a nirva, but also from its father, which was an ordinary animal, didn't have this iser. So it's zev zeh goyrim, it's iser and heter causing this to come into being, and that's the machloikis, whether we say that it becomes iser or not. Avol, daf mem zayin, however, ivru v'lu v'soif nirvu, if it was a case where first this animal was pregnant, and then it was nirva, then a person had relations with this animal, and it became also with the iser of nirva legavaya, or if it was worshipped as a vaydazara, divrei hakol asurin, he says that even the Tanakama would agree that it is asur. Because in such a case, since upon the embryo as well, there was an iser of nirva, or in the case of nevad, an iser of nevad, the Tanakama would also agree that this iser does not go away, that it doesn't become mutter, merely by the vlad being born. So according to this interpretation of the machloikis, then everyone agrees that once there is an iser, that even though a shinui takes place, that the vlad is born, that it does not become mutter. The machloikis is, in a case where the animal was not yet pregnant when the iser took place, do we say that later when it becomes pregnant, that the vlad also becomes iser, because it becomes osur, because it is a vlad of the mother, which is osur, or not? That's the machloikis. Our case where he bowed down to this standing wheat, where the Isser definitely was chal on the wheat, and only later it was changed, and your question is whether it can then be used for menachas, whether we apply the heter of shinui, that compared to a case of ibruv lebesayis dirvu, that it was already pregnant at the time that the Isser of revia, that the person had relations with, at the time that Isser took place. In such a situation, we say that since the uber, since this embryo definitely became Osir, that we're saying that everyone would agree that it remains Osir in spite of the shinui. So then to the contrary, we should say over here that everyone would agree that since this wheat did become Osir, ligavaya, that we should say that it remains Osir in spite of the shinui. Ika de Amri, some say that the proof originally was brought from this Tani Allah, from the statement that was made by Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua. Since we learned on it, as the Girsa of the Bach is, the Itmar Allah, that it was said concerning this machloikas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua, machloikas kishinir vubbubbisayt Ibro, that he said pshat that the machloikas in Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer is, that the Tanakama is only matter in a case where the Revia took place before it was pregnant at all, and only later it became pregnant, and the machloikas is whether the uber, the embryo which came into being later, also takes on the iser of its mother or not. But if it was pregnant and later it was nirva, later something was done to it which makes it osir, everyone would agree that it becomes osir, because since at the time that it became osir it was already pregnant, the vlad, this uber, definitely becomes osir, and it would not become mutter because it is born, and that constitutes a shinui. The hani nami ki ibruv lebesayf nirvu dami, and these wheat as well can be compared to a case of ibruv lebesayf nirvu. When the iser took place, the uber was there. In our case as well, when the iser took place, of course it became also ligavoya. The question is, you must suggest that it should become mutter because of shinui. So to the contrary, we see from over there that statement that was made that in a case of nirvu ibruv lebesayf nirvu, that it definitely remains osir. So he's bringing to the according to this lashon, he brought a raya originally that we should say that it definitely is osir limenachas, as we find was stated over there, that everyone agrees that if it was ibruv lebesayf nirvu, that it is osir and does not become mutter because of the shinui of being born. And that the Gemara says hachi hashta, that this is no comparison. Over there, in a case where the animal was pregnant, and we say therefore that the embryo, the uber, did become osir with that iser. There, at that time, it was a behema, vahashta behema, and now, when we're discussing bringing this animal that was born as a korban, it is still the same behema. That's not actually considered to be a change. Dashahu diachizo bianpo, it's merely a door which was closed up in its face. In other words, over there, the reason why everyone would agree that if it was osir, that it remains osir, it's not because it's osir in spite of the fact that a shinui took place to this vlad, but rather because it's not considered a shinui at all. Merely the fact that this embryo was born is not considered to be a shinui. It was a behema within the womb of its mother, and it is still a behema, only then it was closed inside, and now it's outside. So that's not a shinui. However, in our case, in the question of Rami Bar Chama, originally it was wheat, it was chitim, and now it's kimcha, now it's flour. So that definitely is considered to be a shinui, and we can still ask the question whether a shinui makes it mutter or not. So in either case, we have no raya from that machloekes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer to our case of yesh shinui, whether we apply the heter shinui or not, because we can say that over there it's osir in a case where the embryo became osir, because that is not considered to be a shinui. Continues the Gemara, Boy Rishlokesh. Rishlokesh asked another shayla. Hamishtacha veledeko, if someone bows down to a palm tree, and the palm tree again is mechuber, we're speaking about a palm tree which was not planted for avodah zarah, as the Gemara here does explain. If someone bows down to that deko and it does not become osir lehedya, lulavay mahu lemitzvah. What is the halacha of its lulav, of using a lulav growing on that dekel to use for the mitzvah of the arba'a minim on sukkot? Now here the Gemara explains, be'ilon shenetoy mitchila lekach, if it's a tree which was planted originally for avodah zarah, loyti boylach, don't ask your question, dafilu lehedyet nami osir, because that's even osir for a hedyet, it has the full iser of avodah zarah upon it, and if it is osir lehedyet and has a din to be destroyed as avodah zarah, it's definitely disqualified from being used as a lulav of mitzvah. As the Gemara says in Sukkah, if it's something that is to be burnt, something that is to be destroyed, then chituti michtat shiura, it's as if it's missing its shear. Since its din is to be burnt, to be destroyed, it's as if it's something which doesn't have the right shear to be used for a lulav and cannot be used as a lulav. Kiti boilach, when do you, can you ask your question, be'ilan shenetoy v'lidasoyv avodai, concerning a tree which was plant it, and only later was it worshipped. So that does not become also with the Yisr of Avodah Zarah Lehedyet, since it was not planted for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Continues the Gemara, however, Faliba the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Leitzi Baylach. However, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, which we learned about in the previous sugya, you can't ask your question, Tafilu Lehedyet Nami Aser, because that is Aser even for a Hedyet, because his Shita is that since it's Yesh Beit Fisis the Adam, since the tree was planted by a man, the seed, according to Rashi, was planted by a man, even though it wasn't planted for Avodah Zarah, that too is included in the Isra of Asherah. He learns that from the Pasuk of Ashrayim Tigadeon, and that it becomes even for Yasser, even for a Hedyet, certainly won't be able to be used for the mitzvah. Kiti boy lachalibud the Rabbanon. Well, your question will be, according to the Rabbanon, Allah is like the Rabbanon, that a tree which was not planted for the sake of Avodah Zarah, if it's Nitoy v'libesoyf avodai, actually does not become also with the Yisra of Avodah Zarah lehedyet. And the question is, le'inyan mitzvah mai, what about using it for a mitzvah? We learned in the previous Gemara that it's also le'gavoya, that it can't be used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, what about using it for, so to speak, an ordinary mitzvah? Mimoyis klapi gavoya, is it considered to be something which is disgusting to be used for gavoya, for a mitzvah, even though it's not something which involves the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's disgusting to use it for a mitzvah, which of course is also or do we say, as Rashi explains, that this issur does not apply to a mitzvah, even though in the previous Gemara we learned that even something which does not become osur lehedyet becomes osur legavaya? That's learned from Esnan, that's concerning bringing it as a carbon, or using it as machshire carbon, something which prepares the way for a carbon, as we learned in the previous Gemara. But here would involve a mitzvah which is not for a carbon, which is not involved with a carbon at all. That's the question of the Gemara. Do we say that this issur applies, that there's an issur of nevad for a mitzvah or not? He also, Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came, he said he had a different version of this question. The question actually was asked by Reish Lakish was concerning an Asherah which they had been mevatel. There was something which definitely was Asherah, something which was planted b'chatzchila for Avodah Zarah, according to the Chachamim, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, even worshipped later. But Al Kapadim, something that does become Aser as Asherah, even for a Hedyet, and at that time it's definitely disqualified from being used for the mitzvah. The question is, it's an Asherah Shebitla. It's an Asherah which an Oyvid Kechavim was Mevatel. As we've learned several times, there's a halacha that an Oyvid Kechavim can be Mevatel, can annul something from being Avodah Zarah, and it becomes Mutter Bahana. So we're speaking about an Asherah Shebitla, and the question is, Yesh Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvah, or Ein Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvah? So the halacha of Dichoy, of something being pushed aside, and that even though the reason why it was pushed aside no longer exists, we say that it remains pushed aside and cannot be used. Does that apply to mitzvahs or not? We know concerning korbanos that there is such a halacha, that something that has been dachui, something that has been pushed aside from being used as a korban, even if later the reason ceases and it could theoretically be used as a korban, we say that kiven shehutcha hutcha, that once it's been pushed aside it can no longer be used as a korban. The question is, do we apply this halacha to mitzvahs as well? So since in this case it was pushed aside from being used for the mitzvah of lulav, even though now the oivid kechavim was mevatlet and now it's not osir anymore, it becomes actually mutter bahana and should be permitted to be used for the mitzvah, do we say that nonetheless there's a halacha of dihui concerning mitzvahs, and once it was pushed aside it can no longer be used for the mitzvah, or ein dichoy etzel mitzvah? So we say that although there is aloch of dichoy by kochim, there's no aloch of dichoy concerning mitzvahs. When it was pushed aside it could not be used, but now that it no longer has this iser upon it because the obikachavim was mevaflet, it could be used for the mitzvah of lulav. Tosfos in Sukkah points out that this question of dichoy by the mitzvah of lulav would mean that this actually took place on Sukkot, once the time of the mitzvah came about. That would be the Gemara's question, that it is considered to be dochoy. But if this would happened before Sukkot, if before Sukkot it was Avodah Zarah, and he was Mevatel even before Sukkot, Tosfos says everyone would agree that that's not considered to be Dochei, because it wasn't pushed aside in the time when it was at all fit for the mitzvah. The Shail of the Dichui is when it was already fit for the mitzvah, when Sukkot had come, and it was still Dochei, it was still pushed aside, and then the Oivik Chavim was Mevatel, whether in such a case we would say that it remains Dochei or not. Says the Gemara, Tivshut Lei, let's bring a proof to the Shaila, Miditzan, from that which we learned in a Mishnah in Chulin, Kisohu v'niskalsa potter. There's a mitzvah of Kiso Yadam, that a person who shechs a chaya, a wild animal, or a bird, there's a mitzvah for him to cover up the blood, and if he covered it up, the niskala, and then it became revealed. He covered it with dirt, and the dirt, the wind blew away the dirt, and it became revealed again. Potter b'lechasais, he is free from his obligation of covering it. Once he's covered it, he did the mitzvah. It doesn't matter if now it becomes revealed. However, kiso haruach, says the Mishnah, if it was a wind which covered it, the wind blew dirt over the dam and covered it, so he didn't actually fulfill the mitzvah of kisui adam, but automatically this dam was covered, then chayav l'chasos, then he is still obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of kisui adam and to cover this dam himself. That's the Mishnah. The Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Bar Bachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Yishanu El Shechazav Niskala, that which it says in the Seif of the Mishnah, that if the wind covered it up with dirt, that he's mechuyev to cover it, that's only if afterwards a wind came and it became revealed again. It was Chazav Niskala, it became, this dirt went off the dam again. Then he is responsible to cover it. Avaloi Chazav Niskala, Potter Milachasas. But if it was not revealed again, then he is free from covering it. In other words, what he's saying is, although the Mishnah says that when he did not actually fulfill the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, that he still has the obligation upon him, this obligation can't apply at a time when the dam is actually covered with dirt. Even though he didn't do it, he didn't cover it with dirt. A wind came and covered it with dirt. Nonetheless, it is covered at this time, and the mitzvah of Kisui Adam does not apply to dam that is already covered. But if it will be Chayzev in his gala, if this dirt which is covering it will then be revealed, it will go off it, and the dam will once again be revealed, since he didn't actually fulfill the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, that is what the Mishnah is referring to in saying that he is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. Mashenkin in the Reisha, even if it's Chayzev in his gala, said the Mishnah, since he already fulfilled the mitzvah himself, he did it, even if it becomes revealed, he's not mechuyev to cover it again. And we ask Akasha on this din of Rabbi Yochanan, ki chazav in his gala, my havi. If it would then once again became revealed, so what? We should say that since it was pushed aside from the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, it was pushed aside forever from the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. If Rabbi Yochanan interprets the Mishnah, that the Mishnah agrees that at the time that it's covered with that dirt, that the wind brought upon it, that the mitzvah of Kisui Adam is not done, then even if it is Chazav in Iskala, we should say that since it was pushed aside from the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, that it remains pushed aside, and that the mitzvah of Kisui Adam should not apply, even if the dirt then goes off of the dam, and the dam is once again revealed. Vil Omer Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said, Zoyse Meret, that this tells us then, that ain dichu yetzel mitzvahs, that there is no halach of dichu concerning mitzvahs, although there is a halach of dichu concerning korbanos, concerning kodshim. But concerning mitzvahs which do not involve kachim, there is no halacha of dichoy. There's no halacha that once it was pushed aside, that it is forever pushed aside. And therefore, although it was pushed aside at the time when it was covered with the dirt which the wind had brought upon it, now that it becomes revealed once more, the mitzvah can come back, and he is mechuyev to cover it. So the Gemara is asking, so we see from that whole shakel of Itarya that ain't dichoy etzel mitzvah. So why is Reish Lakish asking this question? Once it is an established halacha, as we see from Byochnan, and that's the pshat in that Mishnah, that ain't dichoy etzel mitzvah, that he is mechuyev to cover it once again if it became revealed, because of ein dichoy etzel mitzvah. So why is Reish Lakish suggesting in a case of asherah shebitla that we should say that there is halacha of dichoy concerning mitzvahs? Says the Gemara, the Rav Papa gufei iboile. That of Rav Papa himself was his question. Of course, Rav Papa is after Reish Lakish, but it means that this halacha was already accepted. Rav Papa was said as an explanation of Rabbi Yochanan, who was Reish Lakish's Rebbe, and it was considered to be the pshat in the Mishnah. And the question was concerning this very din, which was explained by Rav Papa. Because there is a basic difference between the two cases. There, where we're dealing with the case of Kisui Adam, and Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah that when it is covered with the dirt, the mitzvah of Kisui Adam is not done. But nonetheless, when it is revealed, the mitzvah can be done, and we say that this is because of Ein Dichoy, the mitzvah. Over there, we're dealing with a Chumrah. Over there, we're applying this principle of Ein Dichoy, the mitzvah, to Chumrah, to say that he is Mechuyev to fulfill the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Here, we want to apply the principle of Ein Dichoy, Eitzel Mitzvah, as a Kula, to say that he is allowed to use that Lulav for the mitzvah, even though it was pushed aside from being used for the mitzvah. So there's a difference between the two. So that exactly is Reish Lakish's question. Is it mipshat pshitalei l'Rav Papa de'ein dichoy etzel mitzvah? Is it poshit? Is it something, an established halacha, that ein dichoy etzel mitzvah and loishna l'kula v'loishna l'chumra? And it doesn't make any difference if it's l'kula, as in our case of lulav, or where it is l'chumra, as in the case of kisui adam. Just as we say it over there l'chumra, we'll say it l'kula as well, because it's an established halacha, and we'll use the svar of ein dichoy etzel mitzvah, even the kula, to allow him to use the lulav of an asherah shebitla, or perhaps it's only considered to be a suffix. The ein dichoy etzel mitzvah is not an established definite halacha. It's considered to be a suffix whether there is dichoy by mitzvah or not. And we apply this principle of ein dichoy etzel mitzvah l'chumra in the case of kisui adam, to say that once it was chazav in his gala, that if it became revealed, that he then has to fulfill the mitzvah of kisui adam. However, lakula lo yamrina, but we won't say it lakula. concerning our case of lulav, we won't necessarily apply this principle of ein dichoy etzel mitzvahs to say that he can use this lulav of an asherah shabitla tekel, and that remains a question whether we are to apply this principle of yesh dichoy etzel mitzvahs lakula and allow him to use the lulav of an asherah shabitla or not. That remains the question of Reish Lakish remains. Continues the Gemara, Boy Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked the Shaila, HaMishtachaveh LeBehema, someone who bows down to a Behema, and the halacha is that a Behema does not become osur for a head yet, it doesn't become osur b'hanoah for an ordinary person. However, that is the din of Neva, that it becomes osur to be brought as a korban. Simra mahu l'tcheles, can its wool be used for the tcheles? Says the Gemara, tcheles tamai. What tcheles are we speaking about? E tcheles l'koyanim, if we're speaking about using it for that dyed wool, the wool which is dyed blue and used for the big day kahuna, hainu ba'oya d'rami rachama. This then is the same as the questions, explains Rashi, as the two questions of Rami Rachama. Rami Rachama asked a question concerning something which is worshipped, mechubra, which is worshipped, and does not become osur lehedyet, does it become osur for machshire korban, does it become osur for something which is necessary for bringing the korban, such as to use it for a stone in the mizbeach. So this, here too, this is considered to be machshirei korban, since it's for the big tikkun, which are necessary for the kohanim in order to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And it also involves the second question of Rami Rachama, which was concerning shinui, something which has been changed from its original state. Do we say that there is a heter of shinui concerning ne'avat or not? Because this too is changed, since it is made from wool into material and it is dyed, it's considered to be a shinui, it's considered to be changed. And therefore, we could also apply the second question of Rami Rachama. Al-Kapon of Gemara is asking, why is Rav Papa asking this as a new question? If we're speaking about using this wool to make tcheles, to make dyed wool for the big day kahuna, then this depends on the other two questions of Rabbi Bacham, using it for machshirei avoda, and whether yesh shinu benevet or not. So Rav Papa wouldn't have asked this as a new question. And if we're speaking about tcheles for tzitzis, hainu vayad Reish Lakish, then that's the question of Reish Lakish, whether something which is osur, which something which is osur legavoya, it's mutar behedit, but osur legavoya, that the isra of never legavoya applies, whether we say that it's osur for other mitzvahs or not. That's the question that Reish Lakish asked concerning using the lulav of an asherah. So this is the same question then. Can we use it for the mitzvah of tzitzis? Actually, you're right that he didn't have to ask this question, and apparently we'll see from the context that it is speaking about tcheles for the kohanim, it's speaking about something in the Beis HaMikdash, and this question didn't really have to be asked by Rav Papa because it depends on the questions of Rami Bar Chama. The reason why he asked this question is mishum de'ika mili achrenaisa, because there are other things which he wanted to ask. In other words, he asked this question because he wanted to lead up to other questions, and these are his questions. Simra mahu l'tcheles, can its wool be used for the tcheles? Karneha mahu l'chatzaitzret, what's the din of the horns of this animal that was worshipped as of a dezara? Can they be used for the chatzaitzret? Can they be used to make trumpets? Tosfos says that this is not referring to the chatzaitzret which we learn about in Parshas Bahaloscha, the chatzaitzret which Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make and which are blown by the kohanim in order to gather the congregation. Those are chatzaitzret kesef. Those are chatzaitzret which are made from silver. They're not made from karnaim. They're not made from the horns of an animal. Rather, says Tosfos, here we're speaking about chatzaitzret. We're speaking about trumpets which are blown by the Leviim as accompaniment to the shira which was said at the time of the hakrov, at the time that the korban tamid was brought. There's a mitzvah of shira, a mitzvah of saying a shira, a song, a parak of tehillim at the time that the korban tamid is brought, and it is accompanied by music, and the musical instruments are played by the Leviim, and some of those instruments were chatzaitzes, were trumpets. And here the question is, can he use the horns of this animal in making those trumpets? Shekeha mahu lechalilin, can the bones of its legs be used to make the flutes that were blown by the Leviim at the time that the shira was said over the korbanos? Its gut, can its gut be used to make strings for the musical instruments that were played by the Leviim as the shira at the time of bringing the korban tamid? And the Gemara explains, Aliba de Mande Omer Iker Shira Bekli Loisi Boilach, according to the Mande Omer who says that the main shira was that which was done with the instruments, in other words, that is an actual requirement, that there be these musical instruments played by the Leviim at the time of bringing the korban, and that's the main part of the shira. So Loisi Boilach, then you can't ask this question. The Vare also that it would definitely be osur, because we have learned that something which is nevat, even though it's not osur lehedyet, it's osur legavoya, and since this is a necessary avoida, this would also be osur. It's also considered to be something legavoya and is osur. Kiti boiloch, when can you ask this question? Aliba demanda omer ikar shira bepeh, according to Mandiyomer who says that the main shira is that which is done with the mouth. In other words, the main mitzvah of shira was that the Leviim say the parak of Tehillim, sing the parak of Tehillim at the time that the korban is brought. That's the main mitzvah of shira. And the musical instruments were only an accompaniment before that singing which was done with the mouth. So do we say that besume kala ba'almahu umaisinon, that it's merely a way of sweetening their voices, since it's only an accompaniment to the singing. Therefore, umaisinon, we're allowed to bring it from such a thing. We're allowed to make these instruments from something which can't be used, l'gavoya, which has upon it the din of nevat. Or perhaps nonetheless, even though it is only to accompany the singing which is done by the Levium, nonetheless it is still also, since nonetheless it is taking part in this service l'gavoya. And this remains a question. Continues the Gemara, Boi Rabba. Rabba asked the Shaila, Hamashtachave l'mayim, someone who bows down to a spring, Meim of Mahu l'nesachim, can its water be used for the nesachim, for the nisuch hamayim, which is brought on Sukkot, the water that's poured out over the Mizbeach? Can the water of a spring to which someone had bowed down as Avodah Zorah, can that be used for the nesachim? The Gemara says, Maikami Boile, what is his question? Ilema libabua kasogit, oidim l'mayim kasogit, if you say that his question is whether when he bows down to the spring, is he bowing down to the image that there is in the spring, the image of himself, the mirror image of himself that there is in the spring? There was such an avodah zarah to bow down to one's own image as it appears in water. So do we assume that that is what was done, but he wasn't actually making the water into an avodah zarah? Or do we say that he was actually bowing down and worshipping the water, and therefore the water does become usur as nevet, it cannot be used for the nesachim? Are we to say that that is the question? Because we know, of course, that something that's worshipped as avodah zarah can't be used for the nisuch hamayim. It must be, the question is whether in fact we are considered this water to be worshipped or not. Says the Gemara, if that's the question, v'tiboy lo seifo lehedyet. If that's the question, then let him ask the same question concerning a vessel of water, whether it becomes also for a hedyet or not. In other words, we see from Rabbah that he asked the question of whether it can be used for an asachim, and he spoke about a mayan, he spoke about a natural spring, which is considered to be something that's mechuber, it's something that's connected to the ground, it's something which is in its natural state, and does not become also b'hanoah lehedyet. It doesn't have upon it the yisur of avodah zarah for a hedyet. It's only also to be used l'gavoya, as the Gemara said before. Even something which doesn't become also for a hedyet still has upon it the yisur of nevat l'gavoya. So his question was, do we say that it's considered nevat or not? If that was his question, then he could have asked the question for a hedyet. He didn't have to ask the question concerning using it for a carbon, for a nesachim. He could have asked, what if it's a seifa? What if it's water that is in a vessel and is therefore not mechuber, and it's yesh b'tfisi sedayotim, it was taken out of the spring and put into a vessel? Something which, if it is worshipped, would become asur b'hano even for a hedyet. And he could have asked the same question. The person who worships it, do we assume that he's worshipping the water and it will be asur b'hano because the water is avodah zarah? Or do we say that he's worshipping the mirror image of himself which appears in the water, and therefore the water itself is not avodah zarah and does not become asur? So if that's the question, then why did he put his question in the case of nevad l'gavoya? He could have asked the same question concerning water which is not mechuber, and the question would be whether it becomes asur lehedyet or not. Says the Gemara, lo'olam l'maya kasog, that in truth it was pashet that he is bowing down to the water itself, and the water itself is considered to be of a dezara. Therefore, if the water was in a seifel, was in a basin, was in a vessel, then we say that it definitely would become author as of a dezara. For hachi kami boile, this was his question. Lemaya de kamei kasagit, is he bowing down only to the water that is before him at this very moment? We're dealing with a spring. We're dealing with water that is flowing. So is he only bowing down to the water that's in front of him at this moment? Vikamoi kamoi ozdu, and that which is before the first ones. Followed by the first ones, go away. In other words, the water that he's worshipping at this moment is no longer here after a moment. It goes further because he's dealing with a flowing spring, and therefore the water at this point actually could be used for nesachim because it's not that water which was worshipped at all. Or perhaps he's bowing down to the entire flow of the water, as Rashi explains, to the fountain of the water. Everything which is flowing, including the entire mayan, he's bowing down to the spring as a whole, and therefore everything is asur. So since that was his question, he couldn't ask this question concerning water which is within a vessel, because that certainly would become asur. His question refers specifically to a case of a flowing stream, and the question is whether the water in front of him now is that same water that he worshipped or not. Do we say that he worshipped the entirety of the mayan, or do we say that he only worshipped that particular water, and that water is no longer there? Since his question pertains particularly to a mayan, he could only ask his question for nesachim, because a mayan is something that's mechuber, it's something which is in its natural state, connected to the ground, and therefore therefore it does not become also lehedit. So therefore he was only able to ask this question concerning using this water for the nesachim. The Gemara asks, however, umi mitzri, does this water then become aser as nevad? So ho'am Rabbi Yechon Mishum Mishum Ben Yehitzarek, Rabbi Yechon said in the name of Mishum Ben Yehitzarek, Mayim Shalabim Ein Nesar, that water which belongs to the public does not become aser. The Gemara assumed that this water, that this fountain is not something private, it belongs to the public, so how does it become aser at all? Even the Gavaya, Einar Demaisu Dover She'en Shalai, says the Gemara, Loi Tzricha, no, this is necessary, the Kanavi Me'ara, that it's actually flowing from his own land, therefore it belongs to him, and if we say that he is worshipping this Mayim, then it will become entirely aser. Tosis adds that we have to say also that the entire spring is within his land, because once the spring leaves his property, it becomes public property, in spite of the fact that it flows from, that the source of it is within his property. So we're speaking about that the spring is actually within his property, therefore he has the potential of asering it, and the question was, is he only worshipping the water that's before him right now, and therefore, since that water continues to flow, the water which is there later is not aser, or do we say that he's worshipping the entire spring, and therefore all of the water will be aser? Says the Mishnah, Mi shehoya beisoy samuch l'avodas kechavim, someone whose house is adjacent to avodas zara, in other words, he shares a wall, there's a common wall between him and the house of worship of avodas zara, and Rashi says that we're speaking about a case where the avodas kechavim actually worship the house itself. It's not only a house in which there is avodas zara, but the house itself is worshipped as avodas zara, and this wall, which is worshipped by the avodas kechavim, is shared by him. His house is on the other side of the wall. The Nafal, if that wall fell, also live nice, but he's not allowed to rebuild his wall because he's building a wall for Avodah Zarah, even though it's his wall, but since he is building it in a place where they worship it as Avodah Zarah, he's not allowed to do so. Ketzed Yasa, what should he do? Koines betoich shaloi arba amis, he enters into his own property four amis away from the property of the Avodah Kechavim, the Avodah Kechavim, ubayna, and then he can build his wall. There's another gear, so the Rach doesn't have the gear, so the mission of arba amis, but rather the Rach is goyres koines betoich shaloi ubayna, that he enters into his own property and builds without giving a fixed amount of dalet amis. But in any case, it means that he has to separate the wall from the Avodah Kechavim so that they should not worship it as Avodah Zarah. Says the Mishnah, Shaloi v'shal Avodah Kechavim, if that wall actually belongs to both him and to the Avodah Kechavim, that originally it was built by him and by the Avodah Kechavim, and therefore the wall belongs not only to him, but to the Avodah Kechavim as well, and they began worshipping this wall as Avodah Zarah, Amud Beis, Nidoin Mechza al Mechza, then the area of the wall, explains Rashi, is considered to be half and half. In other words, half of the area, the half of the area of the wall, the outer half, is considered to be part of the property of the Avodas Kechavim, and it's the other half of the wall, the inner half of the wall, towards his property, which is considered to be his Rishut. And therefore, says Rashi, when he counts the Dalet Amis, he can't just move it Dalet Amis in from the outer edge of the wall. Rather, he has to move it Dalet Amis from the middle of the wall. So if, for example, says Rashi, the wall was 2 amis thick, he would have to move 3 amis from the end of the wall which is nearest to him. So that's considered to be that he's moved 4 amis away, and there he can begin building his wall, because he's moved 4 amis away from the end of his property. If, however, the entire wall was actually his, then he has to move Dalet Amis away only from the end of the wall. So if it's 2 amis thick, he would only have to begin building his wall 2 amis within his reshus, 2 amis away from the inner side of the wall. That's how Rashi explains what neither mechza al mechza means. That it's a continuation to the halacha that was said before in the Mishnah about moving away Dalet Amis. It's the avonah of Eitzav v'Aforai, the stones, wood, and earth, which is part of this wall, metamin kesheretz. They are metame like a sheretz is metame. A sheretz, of course, is a small creature, one of the 8 shrotzim, which the Torah says is metame, is an av hatuma, and someone who touches it becomes a rishon hatuma. Since every part of this wall was actually worshipped as a avodah zarah, the halacha is that a avodah zarah is metame like a sheretz is metame. It has an atuma of an av hatuma, and someone who touches it becomes a rishon hatuma. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, shaketz tishak tzenu. It says about a avodah zarah that you shall treat it as something disgusting, and the word sheketz is a reference to a sheretz. A sheketz means a sheretz, which means a small creature, which is metame. This, the Rishonim say, is an asmachta. Really, the tumah of Avodah Zarah is only midrabbanan. But Kapodim. The din is that it's metame like an avatuma, like a sheretz. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kanida. Rabbi Akiva says that it's metame like a nida. What Rabbi Akiva is saying, different from the Tanakama, is that while a sheretz is only metame b'maga, sheretz is only metame if you actually touch the sheretz, a nida is metame also b'masa. Besides being metame b'maga, it's also metame b'masa, which means that if the nida sits on something, so something is holding the nida, it becomes tome. Then concerning the avodah zarah as well, someone who holds the avodah zarah, if the avodah zarah is on someone, even if he doesn't touch it, he too will be tome. So Rabbi Akiva is more machmer in the tuma of avodah zarah than the Tanakama. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, tizrem kamoy dova, say tomer loy, that cast it out like a dova, like a nida, say to it, go out. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya talking about avodah zarah, and he uses this as his remez for the tuma of avodah zarah. Again, this is midrabanan, but he's more machmer concerning this tuma that it's only the tama b'maga, but it's the tama b'masa as well. And he learns man nida mitama b'masa. Why does the pasuk say tizrem kamoy dova, cast it out like a dova, which means a nida, just as a nida is mitama b'masa, avodah kechavi mitama b'masa. So also avodah zarah is mitame not only b'maga but b'masa as well. So the Mishnah says that all the parts of this wall, the stones, wood, and earth, are metame kesheret. And Rashi says that this too is referring to this wall that is belongs half to him and half to the avodas kechavim. And Rashi says, even though they are only a partner in this wall, so the wall does not completely belong to the avodah zarah, nevertheless the entire wall is also with the isser of avodah zarah, and it's metame as avodah zarah, because says Rashi, ein breira, we don't say that later when he takes stones for himself that those were actually his stones. Since he's a partner in the wall, and the avodas kechavim is a partner in the entire wall, we don't say that later if they divided that the half of the stones that were taken by the avodas kechavim were always theirs, and half of the stones that were taken by him were always his, and therefore they only asked for the stones that belonged to them. We say Amreira, we say that before it was divided, the stone actually belonged to both of them, they were partners throughout the entire wall, and therefore every part of the wall becomes Osir. If, however, the wall does not belong to the avodas kechavim at all, if it belongs completely to him, the halacha is that Einod Amoysa Dover She'ena Shaloi, that they would not be able to ask for something which belongs to him. So the Mishnah began by telling us a specific halacha that he's not allowed to rebuild his wall if that wall is worshipped by the Oivdei Kechavim, and that l'chayr would apply even if the wall does not belong to them at all. But nonetheless, he's not allowed to supply them with a wall which they worship as a avodah zarah. And then the Mishnah goes on to tell us a general halacha, which is that a avodah zarah is metame, either like a sheretz or, according to Rabbi Akiva, like a nida. And as Rashi says, that will be speaking about the case where the wall was actually shared by both of them, and therefore, since they are partners in the entire wall becomes also with the Isser of Avodah Zarah and is Metame as Avodah Zarah. Rashi mentioned, as we said in the beginning of the mission, that we're speaking about a case where the house itself is actually worshipped as Avodah Zarah. It's not a house which houses Avodah Zarah, but it actually is worshipped as Avodah Zarah. And the Bach in Simen Kuf Mem Hei on the Torah is Medayek from this, that this Isser of rebuilding the wall and supplying the wall for the Avodah Zarah is only in a case where the house itself is worshipped. But if it would only be a house which houses an Avodah Zarah, but the house itself is not worshipped, there wouldn't be this Isser for him to rebuild the wall in its original position, even though it will be once again used by the Oivdei Kechavim to house their Avodah Zarah. The Isser is only in a case where the house itself is worshipped. However, the Shach and Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Mem Hei disagrees with the Bach and says that that which Rashi said that we're speaking about a case where the house itself is worshipped is because of the continuation of the Mishnah, which says that the stones, the wood, and the earth are metame kesheret. That's the halacha concerning Avodah Zarah itself. So Rashi says we're speaking about a case where the wall itself was worshipped by the Oivdei Kechavim. But the first part of the Mishnah, which says that he's not allowed to rebuild his wall because he's supplying the Avodah Kechavim with a wall, would even apply in a case where they don't actually worship the wall. They worship an Avodah Zarah which is found in that house, because nonetheless he's supplying a house for them for the worship for their Avodah Zarah, even if it's not the house itself which is worshipped as Avodah Zarah. So this is a machloikas hapoiske. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah, we learned that in order for him to rebuild his wall, he has to go 4 amas away from the Avodah Kechavim. The Gemara Sakasha, v'ha'komaravach l'Avodah Kechavim. He's giving a gain to the Avodah Kechavim. If he's going to move his wall 4 amas away, they're going to obviously take over that area for themselves, and he's, so to speak, donating this to the Avodah Kechavim. Amar Rabbi Chanina Misura. Rabbi Chanina Misura said, the Avodah Beis Akisa, that he makes that 4 amas, that empty area, which is now outside of his wall, but it is his property, he uses it, makes it into a Beis Akisa, so they won't be able to use it for their Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, Haboy Tzniusa. We have to have Tznius, we have to have some kind of modesty in a Beis Akisa, and this is an open area because he's not allowed to build a wall on the other other side because he will be supplying it for the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara answers, the Avodah Beis HaKiseh Delayla, that he makes it into a Beis HaKiseh which is used at night. The Gemara asks, V'ho Amar Mar, behold, we learned, Ezeu Tzenua, who is considered to be a person who is Tzenua, who is modest, Hanifne Belayla B'mokum Shenifne B'yom, the one who does his needs at night in the place that he does so during the day. So we see that a Beis HaKiseh doesn't only have to be Tzenua during the day, it has to be Tzenua at night as well. Says the Gemara, V'afal Gabdu Kimna B'kederech, and even though we have established in Masech the Brachas that which is meant by this statement, Ezeu Tzenua Nifne Belayla B'mokum Shenifne B'yom, that it means that he is Nifne at night in the same way that he is Nifne B'yom, but it's not really referring to the same place, because in fact the person is not expected to go as far and seclude himself in the same extent at night as he is during the day, but it means to say that he does it in the same tznius way, that he doesn't reveal more of his body than necessary, but nonetheless mute tznius a boy, but nonetheless we do need some measure of tznius. In other words, even though it's true that there we say that Ezeu Tzenua Nifne B'layla B'mokum Shenifne B'yom doesn't mean really that the place has to be exactly the same, but it means that he is to act in the same tznius way, but nonetheless we can see from this that tznius is required, and here there's no tznius at all, because the wall is on his side, and he'll make the Beis HaKiseh on the outside of the wall, and there's no wall on the other side at all, towards the side of the Oved HaKechav. The Gemara answers, the Oved HaTinoik is that he'll make it for a Beis HaKiseh used for small children, so their tznius is not so necessary, and it'll prevent the Oved HaKechav from taking in that part of property which he leaves empty by moving in his wall. Inami, or he doesn't have to make it into a Beis HaKiseh, the Godelib his Mivahingi, rather, he fences it around with thorns and thistles. Even though he has to move his wall in Dalet Amis, he can prevent the Oved HaKechavim from taking over this Dalet Amis by fencing it around with a fence of thorns. That is something which they won't be able to use for their Avodah Zarah. They're not going to worship that. And yet, that will prevent them from taking over this empty space. The following three Mishnahs each list three items, three applications of the halacha concerning the iser of something used for Avodah Zarah. Each one of these Mishnahs gives us a case where the item is completely usur, a case where the item becomes partially usur, and a case where the item is completely mutter. Says the Mishnah, Shlesha Batim Hain. There are three houses which are used as Avodah Zarah. Bayis Shebeno Mitchila L'Avodis Kechavim, a house which was built originally for Avodah Zarah, and Rashi says this means that it was built to actually be worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Hareza Osir. We say that the entire house is Osir. The Gemara will say that we're speaking about even if it wasn't yet worshipped at all, once it was built for Avodah Zarah, it becomes completely Osir because it was built to act as, to be treated as an Avodah Zarah. Toysa says that the reason Rashi explained it this way, that we're speaking about a house which is worshipped as Avodah Zarah, not merely serving Avodah Zarah, is because something which is Meshamshi Avodah Zarah, something that is merely serving Avodah Zarah, does not become Osir until it is actually used for the Avodah Zarah. And here the Mishnah is saying that as soon as it's built, it's Osir. So we're speaking about a case where it was built to be worshipped as Avodah Zarah, and it becomes Osir immediately, even though it was not yet worshipped. Siyado, v'kiyado l'avodas kechavim, if he whitewashed it, he added a layer of lime, or kiyado, he added decorative items on this house for the sake of Avodah Zarah. In other words, the house was standing before, it was an ordinary house, and then he added on something to the house for the sake of Avodah Zarah, that the house be worshipped as Avodah Zarah, v'chidish, or anything else that he added new to the house for the sake of Avodah Zarah, noitel mashachidish, then the halacha is, since he didn't actually yet worship it as Avodah Zarah, then he just has to take off that which he added on, that which he made new to this house. Since the house was not built originally for Avodah Zarah, it was an ordinary house, only that which he added on with the intention of worshipping the house as Avodah Zarah, and automatically with the Isra of Avodah Zarah, and it has to be removed. But once that is removed, the rest of the house is mutter, since the entire house was not yet worshipped as Avodah Zarah. And the third case is, Hichnis L'soich Avodah Kechavim, if he brought an Avodah Zarah into the house, and he took it out. In other words, he didn't designate the house to be something, the house of Avodah Zarah, but he brought in an Avodah Zarah, it was perhaps worshipped there, and then he took it out of the house, but he didn't designate the house as something to be serving the Avodah Zarah, Harezim Mutter. The house is completely mutter, even though it was used as a house for the Avodah Zarah momentarily, but since it wasn't designated for this purpose, it's not considered to be Meshamshe Avodah Zarah, and therefore it is Mutter. So the first two cases are speaking about where the house itself is worshipped as Avodah Zarah, and the first halach is telling us that if the house was built for that purpose, it automatically becomes completely Osir. The second halach is telling us that if something was added on to the house, if something new was added on with the intention of worshipping the house as Avodah Zarah, which is added on, becomes osur. And the third case is telling us that it's mutter if an avodah zarah was brought into the house and then taken out. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Rav said, Hamishtachav elabayas asur. If someone bows down to a house, he asks the entire house with the isur hanor of avodah zarah. Says the Gemara, Alma kasovar tavush v'lubesayv chibroy kitavush dami. We see that Rav holds that something which is disconnected and then he connects it to the ground, such as a house which is first disconnected, then he builds it and makes it connected to the ground, it has a din of something which is tolush, of something which is disconnected. It doesn't have a din of a har, of a mountain, which is connected to the ground. It has a din of something which is disconnected from the ground. Even right now, it is connected. The Gemara asks, "V'ho anan benoy itnan." In our Mishnah, we learned that the house only becomes osur if he built it for the sake of avodah zarah. But it's mashma from the Mishnah that he didn't build it for the sake of avodah zarah, but it was worshipped later as avodah zarah, that it would not become mutter. It's only osur if when he built it for avodah zarah, because then he designated it and made it into avodah zarah while it was still tolush and while he was building it and connecting it to the ground. Says the Gemara, "Benoy afavi shaloi hishtachav aloi." Our Mishnah is telling us that as soon as he builds it for the avodah zarah, even though he didn't yet bow down to it, he didn't yet actually worship it, that it becomes immediately osur. Hishtachave afavi shaloi benoy. And Rav is telling us halacha that if he bowed down to this house, even though he did not build it for avodah zarah, that the entire house would become osur. So our Mishnah is speaking specifically about a case, both in the Reisha and in the middle case of the Mishnah. It's speaking about a case where it was not yet actually worshipped as a avodah zarah. But if it was built for the sake of a avodah zarah, it immediately becomes osur as a avodah zarah, the entire house. If only part of the house was added on, that not from now on it should be used as a avodah zarah, then it's only that part which is added on which becomes also automatically as a avodah zarah. But if he actually would bow down to the house, would worship it, then the entire house would be osur, even though it was a house which was not built or added onto it at all for the sake of a avodah zarah. The Gemara asks, Ihochi hani shloisha arbohavu. If so, these three that the Mishnah mentions, three dinim, there are actually four dinim. Why does the Mishnah mention this fourth din, that his house that he bows down to becomes completely osur? The Gemara answers, Kivin dil'inyan bitl'tnan. Since our Mishnah is learned concerning the bitl, concerning the annulment of the avodah zarah, what has to be done to the avodah zarah, the Mishnah lists three levels of what has to be done to it. The first is that the entire house is osur. The second is that only the addition to the house is osur. And the third is that the entire house is mutter. So, bona v'hishtachve kad kochoshivle. Building it for worship for avodah zarah. Building it that it be worshipped as avodah zarah. That it comes to completely osur. Or, but it wasn't built in order to worship it as avodah zarah, but later he worshipped it as avodah zarah, are both counted as one, because in both cases the entire house becomes osur. That's why our Tana did not mention that case and count it as a fourth possibility, because in fact it wouldn't really add another possibility as to the din that happens to the house. And the Tana is listing the dinim. He's listing a house where it's completely osur, a din where it's partially osur, and a din where it's completely mutter. So therefore it was enough for him to mention these three cases and not to mention the case of Rav of Mishtacha v'Labayas Asara.